Yo, it's Aslan, everybody. Again, here to ask one favor quickly. If you listen to us on an Apple or iOS device and you use the podcast app, search for Wake Up War Chant on the podcast app. You'll see two results. Download the one on the right. That's the one that's got more ratings and reviews. If you tap on it, they both look identical, but the one on the right actually has more ratings and reviews. Please subscribe, download off of that one. If you can't, if it's giving you problems for some reason, don't even worry about it. Don't sweat it. It's fine. We're not trying to make anybody's life difficult. It should be pretty easy. Tap on that, subscribe. But if you could do that, that would be great. Pick the one on the right. That's the one that's got more ratings and reviews. We certainly would appreciate it. Let's get to the show.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One ball, Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's Aslan Hudjavandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What is up, everybody? It's Wake Up WarChant, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Coming up on today's show, breaking down what Coach Norvell and the coordinators had to say about Wake Forest. Tuesdays with Tom. And, you know, just general stuff when it comes to Florida State. That's what we do on the show. Wake Up War Champ presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida. Appalachian Parkway. Go check it out. It's Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday all day. Not just a lunch special. All day, get delicious tacos and play some trivia. But assemble a worthy team because it's tough to win out there, especially when Corey's around these parts. But I don't know where Corey's going to be. Corey's... always in and out, in and out, in and out. But his heart's always at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, though, yes?
Correct, yeah. That's my people. That's my place. That's where I like to go. I will not be there for trivia. Making a run up to Atlanta after we record headlines today. Hopefully I will be back on Thursday for a game on Saturday. That's the idea. But even if there's no game, even if a hurricane does hit, you're still going to want to go to Corner Pocket, gang.
Yeah, hunker down there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Want to hunker down. As of the recording of the show, yes, the game is indeed still on. We'll monitor that, and you'll know the first thing over at warchant.com, which remains $1 for how many more days, Corey? My math fails me. Three more days?
Four, I think. Okay. Yeah. Tuesday to Saturday. Saturday is the last day, I believe. So I think he got 4 days left.
Shout out to our guy, Austin Green. I think apparently he did actually sign up. He sent me the screenshot, confirmed it. 2:30 in the morning, he sent it to me. So
nice.
He said if they would go 4-0, he would sign up, and sign up he did. So join us, everybody. It's fun over there, and it's only $1 for an entire year, but it's running out, so act now. All right, Corey, so we'll get Tom on here in a little bit to kind of talk bigger picture stuff with Florida State, but we spoke to Coach Mike Norvell as well as Alex Atkins, Adam Fuller, and John Papuchis on Monday, as we always do. My house was on fire, proverbially, not like literally, figuratively rather, not proverbially. Is that even a word? Figuratively. My cameras had no batteries, so I was like panicked. I'm like, how am I going to do this? So I really wasn't able to pay a lot of attention to what was said. What were your big takeaways from Mike Norvell? I know you want to get some clarity on how we're going to run an offense when we have a kicker that we don't have a lot of confidence in. Feel like we didn't maybe get a lot of clarity, or did I not hear the nuanced words and the stuff that you heard?
Well, he did acknowledge that Fitzgerald's not on point, quote unquote. I think I used the word struggling. He did not. He did say that Fitzgerald was 10 of 13 last year, and he's missed a couple kicks here recently. So basically my question was, all those times he went for it on fourth down in BC territory when it wasn't fourth and an inch, it was fourth and two, fourth and three, one was fourth and nine. How much does it maybe factor into not maybe, and again, I worded it much more polite than this, not trusting your kicker. And he said now, look, if he's not on point, that does play a part in the decision. It's a lot of gut. There's some analytics involved, the matchups, all that stuff. It's really, I was going to say it's what he's always said, but it's also kind of the truth. Like, it would be weird. I know that some people, some analytic nerds, want there to be a hard and fast rule about you always go for it on this. You always go for it here. But I mean, you are playing the game. You are coaching in the game. And I don't think you would ever want a coach that doesn't adapt or that can morph into something else during the course of a game. I think the way the game is going should dictate how a decision you decide, or your personnel should dictate it. And in this instance, you know, the one real issue I've had with him on a fourth down decision this year, and it wasn't even the fourth down decision, it was the third down decision, was at the Louisville game. You know, I know you're trying to center it in the middle of the field. You have to know that your kicker is struggling mightily, and that's a pressure kick on the road. I just did not think in that moment, when you have Johnny Wilson playing the way he's playing, that you try to have win the game right there with one. Don't try to set it up for a field goal. That's the one issue I've had. Like, I didn't have any issues with him on Saturday night going forward on fourth down because I know the kicker.
Like, and if also he had, the opponent was outmatched early on, it seemed like, right?
Sure, you know. Sure. But in okay, so say you're playing this week. Say you're playing this week. That'd be great, first off. And you're up 24-20. Well, let's say 34-30 with a minute and a half to go at Wake's 26-yard line. It's 4th-and-3. What are you doing? You've scored 34 points.
Yeah, you're
so
going.
Your offense is going well. Now, I don't know if you scored 28 points and kicked 2 field goals or if you scored 5 touchdowns and missed an extra point like happened this last week. I don't know how you got to 34. But let's just say that, like, that's part of coaching, is coaching to your team and knowing whether in a moment like this you can trust your kicker. Now, even getting up 7 isn't a big deal. So, well, let's say it's 37-30 or 36-30. But it's going to be a 46-yard field goal.
Yeah, no, you need a touchdown. Yeah, you got
no,
make
but
like
no, but I'm saying you're winning 36-30.
Oh,
and it's a 46-yarder, and it's 4th-and-3 with a minute left.
Where at? Where's the ball spotted?
28-yard line.
Okay,
so Wake's 28-yard line. 4th-and-3. 4th-and-4.
Oh man,
up by 5 points. Up by 6 points. Sorry, up by 6 points where a field goal can
2 points
win the game.
A 2-possession game.
Yeah. But you're also in danger of missing it. So you just got it. That's part of coaching, man.
Yeah,
that's why he gets paid a lot of money.
Yeah, you'll go for it. Just the difference in the field position is not as big of a deal to, you know, because you go and get it, and obviously it's first down. The clock, you're only, you know, you're burning
right,
clock.
Right, but there is a chance he makes it, and if he makes it, the game's over. So there's two schools of thought, but I think in that situation, the way he's been kicking so far this year.
I think you can only kick him if you absolutely have to. If you're down by 2 with 5 seconds left and the ball's on the 34-yard line. Like that's
if it's 4th-and-14 or something, right?
Yeah, the only way. And then he has to hit that, and that's going to be the way to reset everything,
yeah.
I think. I don't think he's not going to come out to give you insurance. Like, it's going to be like, man, you're all we got, man. You're all we got. Figure it out. And then if he does that, then everything is good. I think that's what's going to get him over the hump. But hopefully we're not one of those games played this week.
Maybe they're all 30-point games. So that was a takeaway, but it wasn't even a takeaway. It's just kind of where I thought he was. I thought that Fuller, the one thing that stood out with the way Fuller talked about this game in this offense he's about to face is he seemed, and I don't know if he's putting on a front. I wouldn't think so. He said multiple times how confident he is in his defense. Like, he said it multiple times, like, I feel good about my defense. I'm confident in our guys when talking about the challenge of playing Wake Forest. And you don't have to add that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Most coaches don't. Most coaches just talk about the challenge they're facing. He repeatedly said how confident he was in his team, in his defense, which, you know, it was like a quiet kind of confidence. They kind of filled me with a little bit of, okay, Adam, little chest boasting there. Like, all right, man, he likes what he's seeing. Maybe he also got good news about who might be available this week.
Oh, I really stretching, Corey.
Well, I'm just saying he seemed very confident. I just don't remember him talking like that. And, you know, we've been doing this for 2.5 years now, and Lord knows I've transcribed thousands upon thousands of his words. I don't remember him talking that confidently, especially going into a game like this. Maybe it was like to fill the guys up with confidence when he doesn't really believe it, or he might actually believe that they have a good chance in this game. He likes the matchup. So we'll see. But that was a takeaway that I had from Monday.
Yeah, I think part of it is that Boston College offense was not great, but still, they absolutely smothered them. I mean, they absolutely smothered and stifled the heck out of them. So that's a good thing. And then I think it kind of goes back to whether it was you or Ira asking him about how you defend the slow mesh. And, you know, you kind of find yourself in that pick your poison range where it's like, all right, like, are you just going to leave guys on an island and, you know, see what happens in these 50-50 balls that they kind of throw up. And then he's like, well, yeah, you can do that. But then, you know, you're going to leave the run open and things like that. I think, and he mentioned it, a lot of it comes with who you have personnel-wise as opposed to, like, looking at other teams. So I think they kind of want to be aggressive like Clemson is. So I think he probably saw film and is like, all right, like, they couldn't figure it out. Law of averages. These crazy plays are not going to keep going their way. We'll play sound and physical, and it'll be in our house. They won't have nearly the composure and poise they had in their own home field. So I'm sure he saw parallels, I think, in that game to this one. Where it's like, all right, plus, you know, a little bit of what you were asking about, how good is to have receivers like they have right now, Florida State, to go up against and get ready. I think he also realizes he's got a good offense helping him out, too. You know, he mentioned the whole thing about, listen, on the scoreboard, it doesn't say offense this, defense that. It's,
yeah,
it's Florida State on the scoreboard and then the other team on there. This is a good team right now. And somebody like, pump your brakes, Aslan. You know, about them being very good. You know, you changed your tune 3 weeks ago. Yeah, man, we've seen them play some games.
There's some data.
Yeah,
there's some data available
now. They
look
good. They look good. Yeah. I think this stuff is, you can keep replicating this stuff. This doesn't feel very fluky or like, you know, oh, wow, they pull that on themselves. Which, yeah, you know, listen, some of the, you know, Louisville game, LSU game came down the wire. You're not going to always maybe win games that come down to the wire, but I don't know how many will come down to the wire. But, yeah, I think he saw that. He's probably looking at the Clemson film. It's like, all right, that's how they're going to probably play us. And if we want to go that route, I feel good about it. And if not, we probably have some other stuff that we can do that the Clemson might not be able to do that we'll be able to, you know, stem the tide a little bit. So I think probably a lot of it came from that. But that is good to hear because he's been very, listen, we got to get better. It's always, we got to get better. We're not close to where we want to be. And that seems to be a little bit more like, all right, like, it's probably time for me to pat these guys on the back because they're doing a good job. Defense's done all right, man. You know, coming off that, you know, pretty putrid last drive against LSU, they played really good late minute defense, or late game defense rather, against Louisville, and then just gave Boston College no oxygen whatsoever. So, yeah, no reason to not feel good about your team if you're Adam Fuller.
Well, yeah, and because, they played, that was the best game. I think that's probably the best game they played since he's been here, against a real opponent. Mm. You know, they're struggling mightily, Boston College is, on offense. But still, there's been a lot of teams that weren't very good on offense that moved up and down the field on this defense at times. They didn't really do anything. It was a bunch of three and outs. It was some turnovers. You know, until the last drive, they had 160 yards of offense. They were averaging like 3.1 yards per play. So yeah, man, he should feel good about it. It was as dominant as they could be with their two best defensive players not on the field. So, and he also, I think it was Norvell, maybe not Fuller, that talked a lot about Jamie Robinson. That it was Jamie Robinson's best game. And that's good to hear too, because I'll be honest with you, and it's not like they're 4-0, so there's not, it's not a, it's a, I guess I'm picking nits here, but Jamie Robinson hasn't had quite the impact on these games that you thought he was going to have. He is too good a player to not be an impact player. And through the first three games, he wasn't really making a big impact. Now, Duquesne didn't matter, so yeah. Let's just stay with LSU and Louisville. He wasn't horrible. He just didn't have those standout flash plays that you expect from an all-ACC safety. And according to Norvell, he had his best game by far. So that was good to see, right? To see Jamie back in looking more like the guy we've come to know.
Yeah. Graded out 68 on defense, which still is not really where he has been in the past. You know, last year he finished the year at 74 on his defensive grade. But 68 is the best grade that he's had against the Power 5 opponent. So, yeah. LSU was under 50. Louisville, he was 64. Boston College, 68. So we'll take it. Good stuff, Jamie. It's Tuesday. Let's get Tom in the show right after this. You know football, and you pick winners all the time. You tell your friends about it. So why not get paid for these picks over at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlay multiple games together to increase your payouts. Getting started is easy. Just visit mybookie.ag, use the promo code WARCHANT, WARCHANT, you know how to spell it, and your first deposit will secure you a double deposit bonus right on the spot, dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sportsbook that makes it simple to bet and win. Shout out to our South Alabama Jags. They're 4-0 against the spread this year. They're giving 9 on the road against Louisiana. A little bit nervous, Well, let's just keep riding our Jags. Meanwhile, Florida State is now a 7-point favorite over Wake. I don't like that number. I like the Noles, but I don't know if I like that number. The over is 66. Still think we might hammer the over on that. Not going to tell you what to do on the Florida State game. Just, you know, too much emotions. Not a good idea to do that kind of stuff. But let's also hit the over on SMU and UCF. You know, Rhett Lashley, Gus Malzahn, old friends meeting up. It's going to be fireworks, I would think. Unless they know each other and stymie one another. But don't think that's going to happen. Let's take the over on that in the bounce house. Go to mybookie.ag. Use that promo code WARCHANT. Tomorrow, we'll put Corey's feet to the fire, have him give us some picks, some winners. It's not your father's bookie or your grandfather's bookie. It's my bookie, mybookie.ag. Use that promo code WARCHANT.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's Tuesday. Tom's here, everybody. What up? Tom Lane, director of original content for WarChant.com, as well as the executive producer of the Jeff Cameron Show, which you can hear 1 to 3 o'clock weekdays, except for today because it's Tuesday and it's headlines day. Game goes on 3:30, so that means terrible math, Tom. So pregame show hangout at Indigo 12:30?
That's it, 12:30, 3 hours before kickoff. There's a wrinkle for noon kickoffs, Aslan. I was happy that that wasn't the case for this game, so... Makes it easy on us. 12:30 Hotel Indigo. Watch along begins at 3:30. It'll be Dominic Robinson and somebody. Who's the other guy that starts the first half? I forget.
Oh, that'll be me. but you guys shut it down and do the great job. So shout out to Gene and Tom and everybody making that show awesome. Dominic as well. All right. So you're the split vote here, Tom. Although, I mean, you know, whatever. So somebody on the boards, our guy Grumpy BK, says, I've swung my pendulum, guys. My pendulum has swung completely the other way in 3 weeks. Yes, we're a hard-playing, disciplined football team with a very good quarterback when he's healthy and afforded time. Are we way better than last year and the years before? Sure, but we won't know how good we really are until we get through these next three games. Which, like, I don't know. Sure, yeah, but, like, can't I... Tom, who do they want me to be, man? I feel like they're my ex-girlfriends, these guys. Like, you know, who do you want me to be? All you want me to be this grumpy guy? Do you want me to be this optimistic guy? Have we seen enough here in
just
four games?
Just be yourself, Aslan. Just be yourself, buddy.
I think they're good, man.
Yeah.
Have we seen enough in, like, these four games? Let's just say three games. We won't count Duquesne. Like, these are trends. This is their identity. These aren't, you know, there's things that are not going to go by the wayside unless catastrophic injury comes to the team.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things I see from the coaching staff during the game where I say, why did you make that choice? Why situationally did you do this on a fourth down or things like that? But with this staff and this team, they're well prepared at kickoff always. They're well prepared. And they're also passionate. And they're willing to run you over, whether they have the ball in their hands or whether they're chasing the ball. They're physical. They're intense. They're prepared. To me, those are three things that you couldn't say about Florida State for the last 5 years with any consistency. They're playing at a different level right now. Sure, if they win two out of the next three, they're a top 15, top 12 team in the country. But yeah, you could find out how much better they are. But right now, we already know the baseline is better. So this is a team that's worth celebrating and enjoying the ride with. There will be other times, if Mike Norvell keeps improving the program at this rate, there will be times in the next handful of years where you can, you know, bemoan little details. But for now, the ride's only going. It's only starting, and it's actually heading upwards, trending upwards. So I'm like you. I'd rather enjoy the moment right now that we're discussing a team that is 4-0. That's a lot of fun, and that's a different conversation than we've ever had since I've joined War Chant, that's for sure.
And playing games that matter in October. Like, yeah. Not just matter to feel good about yourself, but you're actually playing for something. That's new around these parts as well.
Yeah, we're gonna have another franchise show, Tom, that goes live when the playoff poll comes out, right? We're gonna have to, when the playoff poll drops in the middle of the evening and the week, we're gonna have to let people know what's going on with that. I just, you know, we mentioned this on the show on Monday, Tom. Like, with this quarterback right now and the way he quote unquote sees things right now, I don't know if he's supremely athletically gifted as a quarterback, but man, his confidence, his intellect and knowing where things have to go, who to look for, having a little bit more risk sort of he's more risk averse now, or less risk averse rather. Like some of these throws that he's making to Cam down the seam, like he's going to continue to play this way. Hopefully he's only going to get healthier from here on out. Hopefully he doesn't sustain any more sort of damage. You know, I just have NC State will be difficult, man. Clemson's going to be difficult. Wake Forest is going to be difficult. I just think that, man, they're going to be in all these games, obviously, low bar to set. But, man, they have the ability, I think, to go out and make plays when they have to. They have the confidence out. They've done it in games. They have this quarterback. They have so many different freaking weapons, and they can get the ball in so many different ways. And the defense now, again, Boston College, not great. But I think the defense can do well enough to hold up that this offense can make more plays than what they're going up against. Man, these are the sort of things. And where are the weaknesses then? You know, because I do feel really good about this team right now, Tom. And I mean, what are some of the weaknesses maybe that I'm not identifying, if there are some that are standing out to you?
I mean, you know, if you're trying to poke holes in them, it
depends. Other than the kick game. Sorry to interrupt you. Obviously, the kicker's a problem.
Well, it's what are you trying to define them as? If you're trying to define Florida State as a contender for the ACC and a outside, you know, dark horse candidate for the playoff, then you'd say the kicking game, decision making on fourth down, and the secondary. Like, those are the three things you'd start with. You'd add in injury concerns and a lack of depth. So those are the places that you poke holes. But I'm still judging this team based on the, you know, before the season we said, can they get to 8 wins? Or if the ball bounces well for them and injury luck is on their side, can they get to 9 wins? So judging against that threshold, there aren't many holes because they're solid. This is a solid football team. And although Jordan Travis might not be supremely athletically gifted from an NFL quarterback perspective, he's a supremely gifted athlete when as it pertains to a college football player, and he's making better decisions with the football. So the thing I'd say that when you were listing the weapons and the ways they can get it done on offense, that's the best part about this group. We had talked for a long time, I know I did, about trying to achieve balance on offense. And if I'm a defensive coordinator, game planning for Jordan Travis in this offense, you know, usually you like to take away something that Florida State does best. Well, what are you taking away?
Yeah.
Because if it's Johnny Wilson, I mean, he hasn't been as big of a factor in two of these games. Is it the running game? Well, Jordan can throw it. Is it the passing game? Well, they can run the RPOs and read options to death. So that's where it gets fun to me. This team is certainly capable of hitting the watermarks at 8 wins and 9 wins. If you want to judge them like they're going to be ranked in the top 8 in the country, then I think you can get into more concerns that are legitimate because now the competition is the best of the best. I just find it rather funny in a good way. It's a hearty, fun chuckle that we're even entertaining a conversation like that. That means good things have happened between Duquesne and now.
What do you guys, to completely shift track here, because, and speaking
like
of tracks,
the hurricane, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah. Well, look, man, I think anybody listening to this show right now, that's on the forefront of their mind. Is this game going to even be played? And so let's just, for the sake of a hypothetical, say that it has to be moved. In the long run, is that better for Florida State or worse for Florida State to get a bye week this week? Because you could make the case that, okay, it gives you obviously an extra week of Jordan Travis to get even healthier. And those two defensive linemen are enormous deals. And the more you can play with those two guys on your defensive line, so now you would think, okay, well, they would at least play the Wake Forest game 3 weeks from now. Would that not be better for Florida State? You have some great momentum, and it's always a bummer if a game gets canceled because of weather. But in the long term, is it better for Florida State? Would it be okay for Florida State to get a bye this week and get a little bit healthier for this stretch run? Or, sorry, for this three-game stretch right here?
Aslan, you want that first?
Man, I wanted to ask Mike on Monday, but again, like, I had all these things going wrong with my camera, which is all my fault. I almost want to ask him kind of a question in that vein, Corey, about, like, is it more important for you to get this game played this week, or is it more important to have this game played in Tallahassee at some point this year? Like, I don't know, man. I know what you're saying, Corey, for sure, man. Like, they have some momentum. You'd hate to not have a game be played. But, man, it would be nice to have a week off right now and then get ready for NC State and Clemson, because then you have a bye after those two games. But
well,
I don't know.
The bye, that might be where Wake gets fit into, is that bye week.
But that
so
isn't
it
that.
It would be NC State, Clemson, Wake, perhaps.
Yep. But wouldn't that be October 29th?
No, it'd be October 22nd.
Well, they have a game, Wake Forest. That's the thing.
Right, but they play Boston College. But Wake and Boston College both have an open week October 15th.
Oh.
So the ACC could ask them to move their game up a week and then get – and then Boston College has a bye week on October 22nd.
Okay.
Wake has a bye week this week, and then Florida State and Wake play October 22nd.
Ooh, man.
So it's the same three games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just in a different, order.
No, I'll change my mind then. I will get the game played this week because
How about
like.
Let's go to New Orleans again, gang.
Yeah.
What are they doing with that Superdome? They're not using it right now. Let's go to New Orleans.
Yeah, no, get the game played this week. I feel good about this matchup, and then get through NC State and Clemson, catch your breath, and then close out. But now I talk about it out loud. It's like, man, it'd be good to have a week off now, save up for NC State. All right, you convinced me, Corey. Yes. Okay.
Well, it seemed like you kind of had an argument with yourself, and we were just listening to it.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. Take the week off. Play NC State. Beat them. You're on top of the world. Beat Clemson. Beat Wake Forest.
Okay.
Who's going to stop you then?
I think logistically, if they were going to move the game, you'd probably want to know by today, Tuesday, so that you could prepare for it and get your practice schedule all set. Because if they're moving the game, I would think they'd want to move practices out of campus, off campus in Tallahassee. The business operations.
You mean move the game, like the physical location of the game?
Yes,
I thought you meant like moving the game on the schedule.
No, sorry. Physically moving it for this upcoming weekend. If you were to move the venue for a game this Saturday, you'd want to know by Tuesday so you get where you need to go, make your arrangements to have practice all set so it's not interrupted and continuous Wednesday.
I don't even think.
They just sent a schedule out earlier on. So they are still practicing. They plan on practicing Tuesday and Wednesday in Tallahassee, just a little bit later than usual. So.
I wouldn't know. Like the way it looks now, Tallahassee by Saturday afternoon will be fine. The way the track is, it should be really good weather, probably even. So I don't know where you would move it to where you would still have an advantage in the home crowd. And you need an advantage. Like, yep. I would say that's a non-starter to the ACC. If they want me to move this home game, our homecoming game, I would say no. We reschedule it for October 22nd.
Yeah, I agree. They've already moved all homecoming festivities to the spring game, which I find interesting. My wife was going to take part in some home game festivities as a Marching Chief alum.
Really?
Yeah. So they've already said that to the band members that it's the spring game, which I find interesting. You could have just moved it to Louisiana later.
Along
those lines. But even though I was talking like logistically, you'd want to know if the venue was going to change by Tuesday, just for your own planning purposes.
Right.
I would say yes. If the date is moved, it's a net good for Florida State because your first game is on the road at NC State. That's a critical matchup. But then you have three home dates in a row after that: Clemson, Wake, and Georgia Tech. And so if you're going to move the bye week, at least you don't have to leave Tallahassee for three consecutive weeks of preparations. Travel takes a toll. And while you're playing a lot of games in a short period of time, and I think it would actually be a negative effect on your November slate because of attrition. And, you know, that Syracuse game looks tougher. So Miami, Syracuse, and Florida in the span of 20 days, that wouldn't be good. And you'd be a lot more tired. I think if you're just focusing on this three-game set of your opponents being Wake, NC State, and Clemson, it would be a net positive if the game was moved off of this Saturday. But I don't want to see that. If it can be helped, I'd rather play the game this week because we want to see this team. I can't get enough of them, and the sooner we watch them, the better for entertainment purposes.
Exactly. It just, you know, the fact that they canceled classes for the rest of the week is not a great sign. Again, the way it's tracking as we record this, it doesn't kind of look like it's going to be anywhere near Tallahassee. I mean, relatively speaking, it's the state where it's going to be. It's not hitting us. It's not hitting Doak Campbell Stadium as it currently tracks, but you never know with these things. And it's also going to put a lot of people in jeopardy just in the state of Florida and some of your fans that you don't want to be driving up Friday through the remnants of a tropical storm or hurricane. But just from a pragmatic football side of things, we can't overstate how important Jared Verse and Fabian Lovett are. Yeah. You just can't overstate how important they are, especially I would think in a game against Wake Forest. Well, all three of these games coming up, but man, wouldn't it be nice in 3 weeks to have big number zero? You can do that little mesh thing all you want, gang. He might be pushing your center right into that stupid little slow mesh. And then that screws up everything. And you have five coming around the edge. You can't just sit there and hold the ball forever. It gives you Amarian Cooper a chance to get even healthier. Maybe Winston Wright is available for all three of these games coming up. Who knows? I just think it's a bummer. I'm not advocating for this. I want them to play. I hope they play. But unlike the last time it happened, which I think was it 17 the last time they had a game moved or canceled because of a hurricane, was it the Louisiana Monroe game where
they had Boise was moved from Jacksonville to Tallahassee.
Yeah, but they still played that game. One that was moved later on in the year. If it wasn't, it was close. But like that was a huge a factor in the way that season went in 17 because James Blackman's first start was not against Louisiana Monroe when they were going to win by, 45 points. It was against NC State and Chubb. And that did not go well. That was not the team you wanted to play with a freshman quarterback and after 2.5 weeks off. So that was that really changed. That impacted Florida State in a negative way for them not playing that game. And if you guys remember, that Saturday in Doak was picture perfect blue skies, but they weren't playing. But whatever. We're not going to litigate stuff from 5 years ago, gang. But this time, I think you could make the argument that if it did get moved, it really does benefit Florida State. The one negative is you won't be playing Wake Forest coming off the Clemson game.
Right.
Where they're heartbroken and physically exhausted. You're going to be playing them after, if they move it around, the BC game.
Yeah, and the one thing I'd say just logistically, the weather could be fine and the storm could have passed, but the consideration that officials have to take at the university and the city of Tallahassee, I suppose at the state level, is if Tallahassee is serving as a shelter city for those that have to evacuate from, places in the south, that could affect local schools and hotels, and that might send a domino effect down the line to where your attendance is completely undercut because there's no place for people to come here. I think that has to be a part of the math, and it might not have anything to do with the weather on Saturday, but just from a planning standpoint, that's got to be a consideration that the university has on Wednesday. But we'll see. The other thing I'd say too, without being too much of a meteorologist, we're banking on this thing to turn east as of Monday night. What if it doesn't turn and it comes straight for Tallahassee and you haven't made those arrangements?
Then run for the hills.
Yeah, exactly.
Run for the hills. Come up to my place in Atlanta, gang.
There we go.
I got bedrooms.
I'm saying 18, Michael hit Panama City, and I went home, and I was dating my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend at the time, and she was like, yeah, you don't have power. I'm like, I know I was going to have power. Like, I lost power for, 2.5 days when Michael hit Panama City. If this thing splits the difference between Tallahassee and Tampa, I still think not that, who cares about Azon losing power, but I think I'm not the only person in this town that will lose power. I mean, the facility will be all right, but I don't know how great it would be to play a game where, maybe you're on day three of people not having power, but again, don't want to play meteorologist too much.
Maybe you move it to, I don't think you'd move it to Sunday. I don't think you would want to do that because then you're having to play NC State on short rest, but maybe later on Saturday, like every hour with something like that could matter. And maybe it's an 8 o'clock kickoff or an 8:30 kickoff. Maybe 4 or 5 hours does impact the way. I mean, again, we're not meteorologists, although we're all really, really smart. We could do it if we wanted, right? I feel like it. What are you doing? You're just looking at a couple. I can't even.
The computer
even
does all the work. The computer does all the work, man.
You just point at a green screen and say, look at this.
Well, here's what I can do. I can copy and paste what a meteorologist says onto the message boards of WarChan. There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, none of us want it to happen. We definitely want this game to be played. It's just, it wouldn't be awful for this current Florida State team and what they're trying to accomplish to give some of those guys, because they have not been lucky injury-wise, to give some of those guys an extra week to get back for this three-game stretch coming up, which is,
I know, but that's
as we see it now, it's clearly the toughest three-game stretch on the schedule.
I know, but it's, we say a three-game stretch, but it's really not a three-game stretch if they have to end up moving the game, because you're not going to have that bye week to break. This is an eight-game stretch, man. You're going to play 8 straight games, right?
Well, yeah, but the one after Wake is Georgia Tech, and then Louisiana's in there too.
Miami and Syracuse are dotted in there too, man.
Oh, no, it's not. I just meant the three-game stretch because it's three ranked teams, including two in the top 10. No. That's what I meant. This is the toughest stretch of the it's none of this is a cakewalk, man. But this three-game stretch with three ranked teams in a row, one of the best offenses in the country coming in this week, we hope. It's not going to be easy. You'd want all your NFL dudes able to play if they can.
All right. Well, I'm sure this will be talked about extensively on Seminole Headlines, which Tom will just be behind the scenes, maybe just waving to all of you. But
that's right. Just know it in your hearts, everybody, that I'm waving. I'm there.
Yeah. But he'll have observations from practice up on the board. So check it out. Tom doing the work, keeping the site running. We appreciate it, Tom. Thanks for hanging out.
Hey, thanks, guys. Stay nimble these next few days.
Love you, Tom.
It's all love.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks again to Tom. Tuesdays with Tom. Tom Lang, director of original content for WarChant.com, as well as the executive producer of The Jeff Cameron Show. Corey, somebody, I didn't do my job well on Monday.
Don't say that, Tom, or Aslan, whoever you are.
But apparently, you know, Jeff Collins did get fired on Sunday, which we knew about.
Yeah.
Apparently, I haven't looked around. I just saw it on the message boards, which, again, it's a dollar to hang out with all of us on the message board. It's cool. Lots of cool stuff happens on the message boards. But apparently, maybe I haven't seen like the Pete Thamel tweet where he just empties out the clip with like, here's 15 guys available for the job. But apparently, is it Florida State fan paranoia, or has Alex Atkins actually been floated out as like a potential candidate for the Georgia Tech job?
Hmm.
And I know you have a very high opinion of Alex Atkins. You also have a very high opinion about what you can accomplish as an assistant at Florida State and how picky you should be leaving here. Maybe that's even changed more so with this 4-0 start. It seems on the surface to be a good job. The Jeff Collins hire seemed like a really good hire. I don't know if it was a bad hire, but obviously it didn't work. What would you think about leaving here with the trajectory of this program to take over at a place like Georgia Tech? Head coach, first job.
I mean, if you get offered a Power 5 head coaching job, I know it's Georgia Tech. I don't know that you're that picky. I meant more like Alex Atkins, in my opinion, shouldn't go to,
Ball
State or something.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I think you get a Power 5 job, you take it. That said, as big a fan as I am of him, and I am, again, man, I wish you guys would go watch. If you don't, go watch those press conferences that Aslan usually films. in their entirety on Mondays. I just love the way he communicates. He'll answer your question, but it's succinct. It's to the point. He's insightful, but he answers his questions in clips and then he's done with it. You know, 20 words, 30 words, but they're good answers. I thought he was really good about, I know this wasn't the question you asked. We'll get back to that. But, when I asked him about, seeing Clemson do what they did in the passing game, but it wasn't like Clemson's guys were just running free or just completely torching the Wake Forest secondary. It was just those Wake Forest DBs were in the right position a lot of times and just didn't make plays. Either DJ made a perfect throw or their receivers went up and made catches, which they hadn't been doing for most of the season, Clemson's guys. So kind of asked them to think, what did that mean? And, you know, he went into the whole, he really got insightful about how just because one team does it doesn't mean that you're going to run the exact same stuff that team does and you're going to beat them the same way and you're going to move the ball the same way. They're going to try to take your strengths away and all that stuff. So go listen to his press conferences. They're always entertaining. But I don't know if I'm a Georgia Tech big money booster, and they do have them, that I'm all that keen on a one-year offensive coordinator, a guy that's been an OC at Florida State for four games. Like, as good as Florida State has looked, and as well-respected as Alex Atkins is in this industry and is the trajectory that he's on, which I think is sky-high, I don't know that that's going to move the needle for Georgia Tech money boosters. I mean, it's Atlanta, and they've won games. They've been to Orange Bowls in our lifetime. They've won a national championship in my lifetime. And they went to the Orange Bowl, I don't know, man,
15.
Less than a decade ago,
well, 2014 right? season when they lost.
Yeah, they beat that incredible Mississippi State team.
Number one team in the
nation. Previously number
weeks.
One team in the country after beating some 8-5 teams. They just vaulted ahead of the defending national champs. That's cool.
Although they beat Auburn that year. Auburn had come up. You know, Auburn was still favored to probably go back to the
No, but I mean, at the end of the year, Auburn wasn't very good and A&M right, wasn't very good. And they got credit for beating. They vaulted 20 spots for beating those two teams.
LSU as well that year. Yeah.
But so So, Georgia Tech, I think, is, you know, I think they will make a run at Deion if we want to talk about Florida State names. I think that's a guy they would make a run at. I think, I don't know if they're a sleeping giant necessarily, but there is so much talent in that state, and they can't all go to Georgia. And if you got a guy that could somehow convince kids to come play at Georgia Tech, and that's the selling point of Deion. Also, and he also has a, you know, obviously a long history with the city of Atlanta. He was drafted by – well, he wasn't drafted by the Braves, but he played for the Braves, and he was drafted by the Falcons. It was a Hall of Famer with the Falcons. You know, that could be an – I think you make a run at him first. Or you make a run at – I don't
Jamie
know.
Jamie Chadwell, Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, maybe the guy at Kansas. I just think Georgia Tech is going to want to hire a head coach. I think that's where you go. And so that's the bummer with some of these jobs. Somebody like Atkins is like, well, you can't prove that you can be a head coach until you get a head coaching job. So, and do you want to leave Florida State for a lower head coaching job to then move yourself up the ranks? I don't know. That's probably the trajectory though. You know, Mike Norvell didn't go from Arizona State OC to Florida State. He had a lot of success at another school in between. But yes, I would think that's paranoia. I wouldn't think that Alex Atkins is on the top five of any Power Five job list right now, not because he can't do it, not because he won't eventually get there, but because I don't know that enough has been proven on that resume. You know, look, man, the team he is currently employed by went 5-7 last year. We love what they're doing now. And you just have to look at it from a Georgia Tech fan's perspective. Okay, we hired who? The OC for a team that went 5-7 last year? And, you know, it's 4-0 this year with two last-minute wins. I mean, I just think they're going to make a run at a head coach. I think that's kind of the reality of where we are in 2022. The only assistants you're hiring at a Power 5 school have to be
alums like Kirby, right? Like, have to be at a really great program and kill it there.
And have a resume that have a resume of playing in a lot of big games, and whether they were an OC or DC or whatever, like a DC at Alabama, an OC at Ohio State. Those are the guys that could get Power 5 jobs. I don't know the OC, the first-year OC at Florida State, who just cracked the top 25 for the first time in 4 years, is on somebody's radar right now. But ask me again when this team's 11-1, baby. Hey, he could name his job. He might be coaching at who's going to fire their coach this year? What's another big school that's going to fire their coach?
Who's underperforming?
Miami.
Right now?
He might be replacing Cristobal in a couple of months.
Oh man. I just wonder. You know, I mean, they have academic impediments to getting the best talent that's possible out there. But I wonder, like, what's
it's not. It's not Stanford. And that's no disrespect to Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is a very, very good school. My son and I shouldn't even bring up Brady. I had no chance of getting into Georgia Tech. But for the football team, man, they make stuff happen for the football team. Okay. I mean, they get guys in there. They're trying to win games. Let's put it that way. Stanford is a whole different animal. And I guess Notre Dame, have they laxed their
admission standards? I don't think so. That's why Brian Kelly left, man. That's why Brian Kelly came out of here, man. All you
so no, Georgia Tech, it's not. You know, I'm sure it's a little different than like trying to get into, I don't know, Auburn as a football player, but not much. If a five-star wants to go to Georgia Tech, they'll let him in.
It's funny you said, you know, being an OC, I guess at Ohio State, they elevated Ryan Day from OC to head coach. But, you know, Tom Herman was an OC. He was the OC when they won the national title that first time around, but he didn't get a Power 5 job off the jump. He had to go to Houston.
Right.
And then get the job at Texas, which didn't work out for him. So, I just wonder what kind of tall cotton or whatever, high cotton.
It doesn't seem like many Power 5 schools are going to be hiring assistant coaches. It seems like they're going to hire coaches from, you know, probably non-Power 5 schools, right? Yeah. Yeah. That seems like the way it's trending, except for the big boys.
Well, shout out Mike Elko, although Duke lost to Kansas. Come on, man. Come on, Mike.
He's done a pretty good job, man, as bad as that team was. But, yeah, that's by the way, how about the Kansas team? Give me a break. That's crazy.
Go to Nebraska, Lance. Bring him back. Really shows.
Please. Please bring him back.
And then last thing on the way out, Florida State, NC State, either 7:30 ABC or 8 p.m. on the ACC network.
What? No.
Yeah.
It's on the ACC network either way.
Well, it's to be determined. To be determined.
Okay. I was going to say that needs to be an ABC or an ESPN game. That's a big game.
Yeah.
Well, it might be undefeated Florida State versus undefeated NC State coming off a win over Clemson. That would be one of the bigger games in the country. It does not need to be on the ACC network. And you guys know I love the ACC network more than anything, more than my son, more than life. But that game belongs to the masses, not to, Ray-Ban sunglasses or whatever, the tech glasses that they're trying to sell.
To your point, I think if both teams were to lose this weekend, if Florida State does play Wake, like if they were to lose and NC State were to lose, then it probably goes to ACC network. But if either one of those teams wins, I would think that's good, especially if it's Florida State, being ranked. That's probably good enough to put it on ABC.
What would be crazy if they end up canceling this game is the real bad weather. If you look at the way this thing is tracking and the way these things traditionally track when they hit this part of the state, is it's going to be like South Carolina on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's going to be a deluge, and they'll play that game. Meanwhile, like we talked about, Tallahassee will be bright sunshine, and they will not be playing. Remember that Clemson-Notre Dame game from a few years ago, the bring-your-own-guts game?
Yeah.
That Dabo yapped about? They played that, and Notre Dame played like NC State in a hurricane a few years ago.
Yeah, that might have been Michael. That might have been the remnants of Michael.
Yeah, but they'll play those games, but, I get it. I get it. Hurricanes are hard. And, hey, first and foremost, we do have people all over the state and all over the world, really.
Yeah, my
parents. A lot of people in this state listening to our broadcast. Please understand that we are not just diminishing how serious this is, and we really want y'all to get out of harm's way if you can, because these things do not mess around with Cat Fours, man. So please get out of the way of this thing, and I hope everything goes well for the people. If you guys are. And we might be too. Who knows where this thing's going to end up landing? But if you're in the middle of this thing or that thing's coming right at you, please leave and get to safety.
Where are the lasers at? Where are the lasers at to go above the uprights? Where are the lasers at to break up a hurricane?
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Can we not harness all this technology that we have in the country and the world to break up a hurricane?
What are they doing at MIT?
No.
All we want is friggin' lasers to break up hurricanes, gang. And you can't even do that. What are you working on? I'm sure you're working on mice and you're coming
robots.
Up with some goofy formula.
No,
robots to take over the world.
Yeah.
We don't. Yeah, nobody's looking for robots for anything untoward or even stuff that would make society better. We don't need it, man. All we want is lasers to break up bad weather and to get rid of tornadoes. I mean, we've made all these advances in technology, Aslan. All of them. It's crazy.
No flying cars. Okay, fine. No flying cars, whatever.
But lasers. Think about watching a movie in like 1989, which I did, these futuristic movies. Yeah. And somebody takes out of their pocket a square, looks at it, and can see from 1,000 miles away somebody's ringing their doorbell. You know what I mean? Or just there's food being delivered to them because they hit a button on the phone.
Yeah.
And or you can talk to it and it says, "Oh, how are you? Oh, okay. That song is by Rick Astley." Like all these things you can do with technology now that 35 years ago I'd have been get out of here. There's no way that's going to happen. So they've made all these great strides, but you're right. The weather's still the weather. Don't do anything about it. Don't even seem to care about it.
Father Time, Mother Nature, undefeated.
Yeah, you're right. Good call.
All right, we'll go to practice. We'll bring back information and knowledge and do a podcast. I'll be on the lookout for all the interviews. I'll have my batteries charged, promise everybody. So that'll all be up and running. And then headlines from 1 to 3 o'clock, observations, video from practice, all that over at warchant.com, which, again, still $1 until Saturday. Get on.
Get in it. A lot of your friends have done it, and they're not regretting it. Go in there and get some. That's a way to phrase it. Anyway,
he's Corey. I'm Aslan. Thank you for listening to Wake Up War Champ, presented by the Corner Pocket Barn Grill.